Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Here's the Good News right after this. Hey, if you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep 40% of what you create and produce, and your government gets the other 60%. That's about $20,000 for you and $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just real special? And if you think your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you work twice as hard and produce twice as much and make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes just like you did this year. And you're going to net 25% and the government gets 75%. Now that means that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you're going to net $4,000 more. That's 8% more net take-home pay than you did this year. You produce twice as much and get 8% of it. Now that's guaranteed by Congress and the IRS. And that's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and me to do than to work to put ourselves into the top 5% of income earners and then only get 25% of it. Now, that's what I teach in my tax and status school, which, by the way, is now on compact disc for adult home study. Why don't you call today and order my free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. And let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information, and it answers many of the legal questions you'll have about taxes and why it is we're paying so much and receiving so little. And let me teach you how to do just that in our tax and status school, which is now available on compact disc for adult home study. Now, to order your free general law CD package, just call us and ask. Just call, pick up the telephone right now, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Or you can go to our website, it's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click on the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package if you prefer. Again, that's georgegordon.org. And remember, our tax and status school is also available on compact disc for adult homeschooling. Why don't you call right now before you forget. Hey, the other day, last week, I gave you the program for, hey, here's the bad news. God, the news. Just everything I pick up in the International Forecaster or McIlvaney Report, I don't care what newsletter you're picking up, hell, you can just listen to Katie Couric and Brian Williams. The stock market goes down 300 points. It's off 15% for the year. 20% is a bear market. And gasoline's hitting all-time high, $4 a gallon. I mean, I could just go on and on and on and on and on. Hell, I don't need to tell you about the bad news. We've already heard that. I reported on that. But you got to have a solution to the problem. You know, floods are bad, but what's the solution to the flood? Fires are bad. What's the solution to this fire problem out in California? And so the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, those are bad. Income tax is bad. There's all these bad problems and all these problems that need solutions, and we're dissatisfied with the status quo, and we got to have a change. Change to what? What are you going to change? Have you got a plan for making a meaningful, constructive change? And I pointed out to you last time, the alternatives that you and I are offered, the church tells us to pray, and the politicos tell us to vote. Now, we've been praying and voting for years and changed nothing. It gets worse every year. So, you know, after a while, we ought to start asking ourselves, you know, just kind of in the inner reaches of your secret subconscious mind, am I really getting anywhere with my praying and my voting? I pointed out to you last time, you know, when Hurricane Katrina was coming down on the Gulf Coast, you had a week. You people were down there praying mightily. Didn't do you any good. came anyway, destroyed your city. All right, so the praying didn't solve your problem. Praying didn't solve it. I mean, that's the reality of it. Boys and girls, if you've got cancer and you pray to Jesus and you die from cancer, then he didn't answer your prayer. Or maybe he did and said no. Never occurred to you that maybe he said, no, I'm not going to heal you of your cancer. I've told you a time or two about a guy named Hans. You know, I used to call him Hans, you know, but his name was Hans. He corrected me more than once. Hans Wegner, he said. And he's a German guy, you know, and he got cancer. And so, you know, he was being anointed with oil, and people were praying over him, and they were getting real excited about it. And finally, the guy died. And so I learned from that. I don't know that if he'd have gone to the surgeons and medical doctors, if that would have solved his problem, but I did figure out this. Praying didn't solve it. Now, you can go pray if you want to. I'm not telling you not to. It's probably a good idea. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. Notice the key word there is righteous man. I'm not quite sure that all you people out there praying are very righteous. Not even sure the average Joe Sixpack would know the difference between righteous and unrighteous. So prayer isn't all bad. I'm not suggesting that it's all wicked, terrible, awful, and evil. That's not the case. What I'm pointing out is that the prayer over there of an unrighteous man doesn't avail jack diddly squat. And I suspect that we got a lot of unrighteous men and women out there that are praying mightily over here, but righteousness has to do with your legal practice. And I pointed out to you, you know, that one of those 10 indicia that we deal with in our world political model is your legal responsibilities. And, you know, you have some legal responsibilities, like buckle your seatbelt. And most of you people do that. And you follow those legal responsibilities. You got a driver's license. You registered your car. You buckled your seatbelt. Okay. But you have floods coming into your homes up here in Davenport, Iowa, and in Des Moines. Boys and girls, when you have 3 feet of water in your house, that is not a blessing. That is a curse. And I think we ought to ask ourselves, why did we get rain in so much abundance that it has flooded us out and cursed us with this great economic loss? So our president comes along and says, well, you know, to hell with God. What we'll do is declare this to be a disaster area, and we'll send the money from Seattle, Washington. We'll just take the money from you people in Seattle and Los Angeles, and we'll send it to Des Moines, Iowa, and we'll rebuild all those houses. Well, wait a minute. We did that in 1993, remember? And now we get to do it again in 2008. Now, how many times do you want to do that? How many times do you people up there want to get flooded out? How many times do you want to do this New Orleans trick? Seems like to me once ought to be more than enough. Now, Mayor Nagin made a mistake. He said he thought that maybe this flood in New Orleans was the hand of God that did it. He said that publicly, and then he had to retract that the next day. See, that's politically incorrect. And your preacher, you know, he can't tell you that this is a curse that came from God. But I ain't a preacher, and I can tell you that that's exactly what this is. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more. There's blessings that come from God, and then there's curses that come from this same guy. Same God, same entity. And he isn't bashful about it either. He's right up front, and he says, here's what I'm going to do for you. If you do this, here's what I'm going to do. This is what we call legal responsibility. And your government does the same thing. They say, hey, listen, if you do this, then here's what we're going to do for you. You want welfare and food stamps, Social Security, and aid to families with dependent children? Here's what you do, and you got it. Well, God works the same way. This creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I want to distinguish him from the average Joe Sixpack God that we have in our Christian churches and Muslims and all the rest of you people out there. Nice gods that you have. I'm not criticizing your gods and all those gods out there. You know, if you like them, have at it. But those gods out there, they can't protect you from Hurricane Katrina, and they can't protect you from the floods up in Iowa. And if they can, well, then they haven't. And if they haven't, I guess we ought to ask ourselves, why not? Are we so bad, wicked, terrible, awful, and evil that we can't pray to these gods and have them send the water somewhere else? You know, send it downstream to St. Louis where all the wicked people live. Or New Orleans. You know? Hey, we've already been over that time or two. Now listen to this. In Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now I reported this to you last time. Leviticus 26. Remember? Now let me report the second good news. The second piece of good news comes in Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is all good. I mean, hell, even you Christians could listen to this because you'll like it. I know you can't because it's Old Testament and you've been prejudiced against that. So you can, again, you can turn the radio off and go listen to something else because we're going to talk about the Old Testament here. And here's the God of Abraham, and here's what he said years and years ago. And he said this to Moses, and he said, hey, Moses, go write this down. And he did. Moses was literate. I don't know if you knew that or not. Moses was not a Neanderthal dragging his knuckles on the ground. Moses was literate. He could read and write. And he wrote quite a bit. He wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He probably wrote a whole lot more than that that we don't know anything about. You know, just be my observation. But he did write these five books. Here's what he told us. This is the report now that he got directly from God. Now, here's your Creator, and here's what he says he's going to do for you. He said in verse 1 of chapter 28, this is Deuteronomy now, he says, it shall come to pass. Here's what's going to happen. If you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal your God to observe and to do all of His commandments, which I command you this day, that the Eternal your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. All right, now boys and girls, I want to point out to you that the United States of America is the preeminent and dominant world power in the world today. We have been set on high above all the nations of the earth. Not even the Russians and the Chinese can challenge us. Got that? Past tense. Already a done deal. We already got it. See, there was a time in American history, you know, before we got off on this latest kick, you know, with 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, that we used to practice a lot of the Ten Commandments. We had a bottom-up government, a Republican form of government, and a constitution, and we had rights. Of course, with those rights came some duties and responsibilities, but nevertheless, we became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world. And that was our bottom-up government. And we were practicing social duties, economic capacity, political capacity, business rights, monetary capacity, property rights, educational duties, health responsibilities, moral duties, and legal responsibilities. And we did that under the Ten Commandments. We had a program here, a bottom-up program, Thou Shalt Not Steal. In 1913, we changed it. Just kind of woke up one day and said, enough of this crap, and we're going to do something different. We wanted a change, and by God, we did it. We had a choice to make, and we made it. In verse 2, this God said, now, then all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Would you like to be overtaken by blessings? If you shall hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God. Now, there's a caveat here. There's a condition. You have to listen to this God. You have to practice His statutes, judgments, and commandments. And I want to point out, we used to do that in the United States of America. We used to practice the Ten Commandments in this country. Believe it or not, we used to do that. We don't anymore. But we used to. And when we did, we became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world. We lent to people, but we didn't borrow. Today we borrow and we don't lend. No, the worm is turned. Verse 3 says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your kine, your cattle, and your flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And the Eternal will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way, and they shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses, and in all that you set your hand unto do. And He shall bless you in the land which the Eternal your God gives you. The Eternal shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. All right, now you people down there in New Orleans, pause right there. Do you walk in the ways of this God? Do you keep the Sabbath on Saturday? Do you practice the Passover pursuant to Exodus chapter 12? Do you practice the Feast of Tabernacles pursuant to Deuteronomy chapter 14? Or do you practice Christmas, which you were commanded not to do in Jeremiah chapter 10? Do you practice Easter, which you were told not to do by Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel? Huh? Are you giving your God the finger? Do you practice Mardi Gras and every form of filth and depravity, such as, but not limited to, homosexuality, sodomy? Huh? Is that what you're doing down there in New Orleans? All right. Well, now, I'm just pointing this out as a reporter. I'm not here to criticize you. Hell, if that's what you want to do, keep after it. You're on the right track. But I pointed out that, you know, there's a downside. And last week, I reported to you that downside. $4 gas, inflation, hyperinflation, trade embargoes, the outsourcing of your jobs to India, poverty, floods. I mean, all these curses that come upon us, that's the results of the violation of these laws. I pointed that out to you. Now, you ain't going to hear that in your local Christian church, but I just thought I'd bring that to your attention. When you people up there in Iowa get a belly full of that flood water in your living room, you know, you can change that for yourself. I mean, you know, you're not going to change Iowa. I mean, I'm not naive. I'm not stupid. The people of Iowa aren't going to change. And the people of New Orleans aren't going to change. But I'm saying that you personally, just you and your family, you can change. And you can turn all of this around. And you turn it around when you stop practicing the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. Let me show you how this works. Are you sending your kid to public school? Well, if you're sending your kid to public school, that's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. And every day that you send your little kitty off to the public school, you're ratifying plank number 10. That's 1/10 of the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in giving the finger to your Creator who told you to educate your child, you personally, live and direct, and to educate your child in your own home school to this law, the 10 commandments and the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. All right. Now, you're either doing that or you're not. One or the other. And most of you listening to me are sending your kids to the public school and you're ratifying the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, which you have every right to do, and that's a choice for you to make, and you've made it. My point is, you can stop doing that anytime you want. I mean, you can stop it in the morning. You probably couldn't stop it today, but, you know, you could stop it in the morning. Surely you could stop that within a week, you know, if you put your mind to it. Now, when you get a belly full of social lady telling you how to educate your child, you know, you can stop social lady dead in her tracks. I showed you that. But, you know, if you're satisfied with social lady and satisfied with public school and satisfied with the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, then there isn't any reason to make a change. But if you don't make the change, then this God says that he's gonna come down on you with a ton of bricks. All right, now we talked about coming down on you with a ton of bricks, and so now what I wanted to point out to you is that, hey, listen, now if you're tired of this ton of bricks over here and you're tired of the floodwaters and the fires and the income tax and Social Security and the rest of it over here and poverty, you can change it. And he says, here's what I'm going to do for you. But to do this, you got to practice this law. You don't have to pray. In fact, I've mentioned that 3 or 4 times. I'm going to take a little pause right here, a little hiatus. Let me take a little yellow pad here. Let me put a bookmark right in there and flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Let me show you about this praying thing. Just in case you thought that I was anti-religion or something like that, 1 Samuel chapter 8. Our forefathers, you know, they had a choice to make. This is about 1000 BC, 1100 BC. They had a choice to make, and they made it. And so they said they wanted a king like all the nations around us. Just like right now, you're sitting there saying, I've had it with this George Bush crap. I'm going to vote for a change. I'm going to vote for Barack Obama. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. You were told not to do that, so I'm going to tell you. You were told not to vote. I don't know if you knew that or not. This God, this creator God here, he's not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. Hell, he's not even a libertarian. Although he follows libertarian philosophy, but I want to tell you he's not a libertarian. And so he told us over here, he said, now, verse 18, you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you, and the Eternal will not hear you in that day. All right, now we chose George Bush, remember? And now 23% of us are still in favor of George Bush. We still like him. And 77% of us now are opposed to George Bush. Of course, half of us were opposed to him to start with. But now there's a great swelling majority of people that are opposed to George Bush. And here's your God. Now he says, because of your king, which you shall have chosen you. Boys and girls, how do we choose our king in America, Canada, and Australia? You vote for him, remember? You vote for these guys. And that's why I said to you last time, that's an important distinction, because when you vote, you give your power of attorney. You give your political capacity to a guardian. Remember that guardian-ward relationship? All right. People who are politically incompetent, unable to manage their political affairs, need a guardian. And you're encouraged to vote for your guardian. He's called a senator or a representative or a president. All right. Now, I have a guardian. I practice this law to the exclusion of the law of the United States and Missouri. That's right. This God says, don't practice the law of Missouri. I'm not talking about your God now, Sally. I'm talking about this God. This is a different guy here. I know your God tells you to obey the law of the state. Obey the law of Missouri. Obey the law of Texas. Now, this God tells you not to do that. Now, some guy will write me a letter and say, well, you're preaching another Jesus. Hell, I ain't even preaching about Jesus. That's another story for another day. This God's name ain't Jesus. This is a different guy. Different fellow altogether. All right, now, with that in mind, listen to this again. He says, you'll cry out to me in that day. When gasoline prices hit $7 a gallon, you are going to cry out to your gods. Give us some relief. Now, listen to what this God says. And the Eternal will not hear you in that day. Now, how do you talk to God? Well, isn't it by praying? See, you people are praying all the time. You're praying, you know, for Hurricane Katrina to go some other direction. Now, you didn't need to pray concerning Hurricane Katrina because your God already told you, I ain't going to listen to this crap. So that's why I'm telling you, I said, I don't think prayer is the solution to your problems, but I think obedience to the law is. I think if you'd shut your mouth and start doing something, you might get a different result. So forget all of that much speaking and praying and, you know, and crying and weeping and wailing and so on. And get down to actually get off your dead ass and go to work. Take your kid out of the public school and stop practicing that 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. Start educating your child to the 10 commandments and the laws of God, which you were told to do. I know, it's a wild new concept. But I would be disingenuous if I didn't report to you the facts. Now, so I gotta tell you that's the facts of the case. Now, this guy says, if you will do that, then here's what I'm going to do for you. Just like your government. You know, I say, hey, fill out these forms, and here's what we're going to do for you. You want some FEMA aid? Do you want social lady to come in here and give you all these benefits from WIC, food stamps, aid to families with dependent children, Social Security, old age and survivors benefits? Fill out the forms. Do this, do that, and your government will react accordingly. Well, that's all this God's telling you. He says, hey, I'm the head honcho. I am the grand poobah of the entire universe. Sit down, shut up, and do what I tell you, and I'll give you these benefits. So I took a look at this, and I said, hell, it's worth a try. It's worth a try. Let me see what this is all about. So I tested it, and I'm here to report to you. It works like a shot. Works like a shot. Try this one. He says, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the eternal your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Boys and girls, 3 feet of water running down Main Street in Des Moines, Iowa is not a blessing. Can you guys figure that out? 12 feet of water in the Ninth Ward in New Orleans is not a blessing. Can you figure that out? Can you connect those dots? He says, I'll give you rain in due season. Do you know what rain in due season is? That means the right amount, not too much, not too little. If you got too much rain, that's a curse. If you don't have enough rain, that's a curse. Got that, you Californians? If you ain't got enough rain, you're being cursed. Now, if you want to go vote for Arnie, that's fine by me. If you think Arnie can bring more rain, vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor of California. Honest to God, I don't think that Arnie can bring you any rain out there. This God says he can. This guy says he can. I don't know. Most of you guys out there in California ain't put this guy to the test, and so you don't know. So I just threw that out there as a suggestion. Verse 5, he says, blessed shall be your basket and your store. You know, we Americans used to have so much food stockpiled in this country that at harvest time we'd have to dump it down the main streets of our little towns in Kansas because there wasn't any room in the elevators. They just dumped it out in the street. Stored it in the street. There wasn't any place else to put it. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out, he says. And the Eternal shall cause your enemies that rise up against you in Iraq and Afghanistan to be smitten before your face. He's not causing those guys to be smitten before your face. Those guys over there are a thorn in your side and are eating your lunch every day of the week to the tune of billions of dollars a week. Now, if you think that's good. John McCain said the other day that he expected, you elect him president, he expects to be in war in Iraq until the year 2013 when his first term expires. And then you can vote him in for a second term. I don't know where that guy's brain is, but, you know, I guess evidently he figures that you're going to vote for him because, you know, you want more war in Iraq. Hell, if you want more war, stick with it. You're on the right track right now. I wouldn't deviate one iota. If more war is what you want, by God, that's the place to go get more. And, of course, he says, well, you elect this Barack Obama and he's going to cut and run and then you're going to lose. Well, you know, what you really need is a victory, but you need a victory a little bit sooner than 5 years, and you ain't got it yet. And so that tells me that our God, this God, is not working for us. Not in this war. He did in World War II. He did in World War I. He says now, verse 8, the Eternal will command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand unto do. Did you know that 50% of our food now comes from overseas, just-in-time delivery? All of our elevators are empty. Did I report to you in the bad news as last week that Quaker Oats closed down indefinitely? They're all flooded out. Archer Daniels Midland, they're underwater. Cargill, all of their silos full of water. That's not a blessing in your basket and store. That's a curse, ain't it? Can you connect those dots, boys and girls? Can you say, curse, boys and girls? No, you Mr. Rogers people out there. Can you say curse? boys and girls. The Eternal will establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you. If you shall keep the commandments of the Eternal your God and walk in his ways. Oh my God. Can you imagine George Bush saying, you know, I think what we need to do in this country is obey God's commandments. Well, that'd be a wild new idea. See, George Bush isn't going to do that. George Bush is a Satanist. He's a member of Skull and Bones. That's a satanic witchcraft coven. You have a practicing warlock in the Oval Office of the president saying you're going to elect another one. See, all these guys that are running for public office, they're selected by the Illuminati. Yeah, you have the bankers. They're selected. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, John McCain, George Bush, George Cheney, Bill Clinton, they're all selected. You get a choice. You can have death pill A or death pill B. Green or red. It's your choice. Get after it. Hey, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard in 112 countries worldwide daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can all be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views and opinions of the advertisers or the sponsors or management or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour, the Law School, and the Law Editorial Review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, talking about good news now for a change. All right, the good news is located here in Leviticus chapter 26, first 13 verses, and Deuteronomy chapter 28, first 14 verses, followed by, well, here's what I'm going to do to you now if you don't follow instructions. Now, I gave you the bad news. Now, the good news is you can change this. It isn't a requirement now that we go out and work hard to elect Barack Obama so that we can make these changes. You don't make the change by voting. You make the change by changing your legal responsibilities. You change your legal responsibilities when you stop practicing the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto and replace that with the 10 commandments. That's all there is to it. Now, when we practice the 10 commandments, you get some physical value. It comes right from our Constitution. So this doesn't have anything to do with religion. It doesn't have anything to do with going to church, giving your heart to Jesus, praying. It's irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. In fact, I showed you before we took the break, praying is counterproductive. God already told you, I ain't listening to your crap. I ain't listening. I've had it with you. Now, if you want to do something constructive, then what we do is we actually go practice this, actually go do it. And the way you do it is you take your kid out of public school and you start educating him to this law at home. And yes, you can do that. The law provides for that. And you ought to learn how that law works, because legal responsibilities are a part of your educational process. Part of your duties in life is that you become legally responsible for your actions. See, most people, they don't want to do that. They want to hire a lawyer. And when you hire a lawyer, you give your power of attorney to the lawyer, create a guardian-ward relationship, declare yourself to be a legal incompetent, and then you become his ward. That's why you can't win in court. How in the hell could you win in court as a legal incompetent and as a ward of the court? How does that work? So now your God tells you here in verse 10, he says, all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Eternal, and they shall be afraid of you. People who practice this law engender fear in the people around them. People around you will become fearful and timid of you if you practice the Ten Commandments. And the Eternal shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, no birth defects. You'll have plenty of money and plenty of goods. And in the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, the land which the Eternal swore unto you and your fathers to give you, the Eternal shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto your land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. Are you people lending to many nations, or are you borrowing from many nations? Can you connect those dots? Are you getting rain in due season in Iowa, Wisconsin, Indiana, Illinois, and Missouri? Or are you being cursed with too much rain? Huh? Come on, guys, connect these dots now. The Eternal shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. How's the IRS and the Highway Patrol treating you? Now, if that you hearken unto the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them, and you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. It says, don't go after the United States of America pledging allegiance to the flag and singing the Star Spangled Banner. Can you connect those dots? You shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left. All right, now the preachers over here, see, they tie you to the flag and they tie you to the United States of America and voting. In fact, they're telling you, go out here and vote. In fact, these same preachers are telling you the old covenant, the Old Testament's done away with, the Ten Commandments are done away with, and you don't have to practice that. Well, those preachers that tell you that are liars and frauds and charlatans and false prophets. And I got that from no one else other than Jesus. Pay attention now, boys and girls. Can you say Jesus? Over in Matthew 4, verse 4, here's what Jesus had to say about this. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I want to point that out to you. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word, every word. How many words is that? What is it about the word every that you're having a problem with, Bob? Sally? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, here in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, God told you three or four times, he says, now, you know, if you sit down, shut up, and fold your hands and do what I tell you, I'll give you all these neat benefits. That's all good news. There wasn't a single thing there that I wouldn't like to have. That rain in due season would just be a hell of a neat idea in Des Moines, Iowa, right now, today. Rain in due season is a good idea everywhere. And George Bush cannot give you rain in due season. He can take the wealth away from you people in Seattle and redistribute it to the people in Des Moines. He can do that. But he cannot give you people rain in due season. And he cannot command the blessing, and he cannot withhold it. Now, if you want these benefits, these are individual benefits, just like your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, which you just learned the other day, and that's real special. The Apostle Peter was free and was bearing arms, and he cut off the high priest's servant. Did you know that the Apostle Peter was armed and dangerous, cut off the ear of the high priest's servant in the Garden of Gethsemane? Do you remember that story? Yeah. So, this right to keep and bear arms is very ancient. It's been around for thousands of years, and my God, I was just overjoyed to see our Supreme Court 5-4 split. I gotta concede, just one more judge, and we'd have been back to where we've been, you know, for the last 75 years. But I just wanted to point out that Israelites have had the right to keep and bear arms, you know, for thousands of years, which isn't something brand new. Our founding fathers enshrined it in our Constitution. And then there's a bunch of other guys over here that said, oh, no, you can't have that right. All right, now, if you can connect some of these dots over here, you don't need to pray to Jesus. What you need to do is obey God and keep His commandments. What you need to do is to actually stop practicing sodomy. I know, it's a wild new concept. Stop practicing adultery. I know. Well, that's going to put a kink in your love life. But those are requirements. Those are legal obligations that we have in order to get the benefits that we want. But, you know, if you want to get Social Security benefits, you got to pay the tax and you got to go down and sign up for it. And I'm not collecting Social Security. I didn't pay the tax and I didn't go down and sign up for it, and I'm not getting my Social Security check. I did not follow the law. I did not obey the law of the United States of America as it's spelled out in Title 42, Section 301. And I'm not getting my Social Security checks every month, boys and girls. And that's because I don't want the damn Social Security check. It's a violation of the law of God. And it gets in the way of all these other neat benefits, which I want more. I want great wealth. I don't want poverty under Social Security. I want great wealth. And a whole lot more than I got. And I'm getting it. That's why I'm not complaining about $4 gas. What's the point? The price of gas is not going down from $4. The price of gas is going up to $7. Got that? Wake up. So if you're going to pay $7 a gallon for gas, either Social Security has got to increase the cost of living escalator, or you got to get great wealth from some other source so that you can afford to pay $7 a gallon. And I can afford to pay $7 a gallon, and that's what I'm going to do. I need great wealth. To get that, I got to practice this law. That's why I'm doing that. That's why I'm making this report. And it doesn't require anybody else in Davenport, Iowa, to do it. You can just do it all by yourself. Be the only guy in Davenport. And you'll be the only guy there to collect on this contract. This is a contract, by the way. That's why it's called the Old Covenant. Now, I said, let's talk about slavery. Here in the United States, we have a 13th Amendment in our Constitution. It's one of what we call the Reconstruction Amendments, which bars, it banishes, it abolishes involuntary servitude. Isn't that just real special? Okay. Now, let me point out to you, boys and girls, that slavery, the institution of slavery, was created by God. If you're wondering who thunk up involuntary servitude, it was this God right here, this Creator God right there. And our people, the white Anglo-Saxon people, had our go at slavery. We spent 430 years in slavery. In Egypt, serving Pharaoh. And then one day our God came to us, sent his emissary, sent his ambassador. His name was Moses. He sent Moses into Pharaoh, our master. And he said, hey, let my people go. This God claimed that he owned those 3.5 million Israelites. Now, for 430 years, this Pharaoh and his daddy and his daddy and his daddy had owned these people. And you can understand Pharaoh's point of view when he said, what? What in the hell are you? Where do you come from? Who do you think you are coming in here telling me to let these people go? He says, not by the hair on my chinny chin chin. So this God in Exodus chapter 1 through about Exodus chapter 10 goes through this thing called the 10 plagues. Maybe it was Exodus 15 or something. 10 plagues that he brought down on the Egyptians. And finally, the last plague, he killed all the firstborn. And that's why we practice this thing called Passover. It's in Exodus chapter 12. Our God, this Creator God here, he said, I want you people to practice Passover. Now, we got it in our minds that we want to practice Easter. Well, okay. You know, that's your choice. But you can't have rain in due season. You can't have great wealth. And you can't have these benefits that come from this contract unless you practice Passover. So, I mean, you just make your mind up to that. If you're sitting there saying, well, I'm a Christian, and by God, I am not going to practice Passover. Well, okay. Okay, listen, I'm not opposed to it. Get after it. But you're not going to get these benefits. And furthermore, you're going to get all these curses that I reported to you last week. And you're going to get $7 gas. You're going to get hyperinflation. And you're not going to get great wealth to pay for it all. So, you know, make up your mind to it. And my point in making this report is that at some point in time, you're going to get a belly full of this. If $7 gas doesn't do it, $14 gas should grasp your attention. If 3 feet of floodwaters in downtown Davenport doesn't grab your attention, I'm sure that 10-foot water in downtown Davenport will catch your attention. Or something else. An invading army, maybe. Maybe an army of Chinese, like a plague of locusts coming over the land and putting you in a concentration camp, which he points out to you in the penalty phase of this. Maybe that'll grab your attention. Because he told us, he said, now, when you find yourself in all of this trouble, if at that point in time you repent, well, then we can get back on track. You know, it's just up to you. You know, how much is it going to take? Now, I got to tell you a little story here. My daddy, hell of a nice guy, my daddy was. I liked him. Nobody else did, but I did. And my daddy explained to me one time that I needed discipline. I needed correction. And this God says that a man that doesn't correct his son hates him. A man that loves his son chastens him betimes. My dad loved me. It didn't appear to me at the time that he did. But now that I'm an old man, I can tell you plainly, my daddy loved me. And he chastened me betimes. And he told me one time, he said, son, I don't want you to think I hate you or that I'm opposed to you in some way. He said, but your behavior is just totally unacceptable. You cannot behave this way. I won't allow it. Society won't allow it. You know, even out here in society, you know, there's certain levels or standards of morality, of conduct that we accept and those that we don't. Now, we'll accept sodomy and homosexuality and free sex and all kinds of filth and depravity, but there's some things that we still draw the line on. You know, like child pornography and child rape and, you know, there's some things, you know, that even a criminal, a hardened criminal in prison, for crying out loud, won't tolerate. There's not much, but there's some things. In fact, you can get a guy and lock him up in prison, and the prisoners will kill him. Like that Jeffrey Dahmer, the guy that was killing people. He was a sodomite and killing people and eating them. Cannibal. Hell, they put him in prison, and the prisoners killed him. So, you know, there's a level of righteousness. There's a level of here's what we'll tolerate and here's what we won't, even in prison. So I just wanted to point that out to you, that there's a level here of conduct that this God will not tolerate. And Mardi Gras is one of them. So that's for you people down there in the South. You know, this Mardi Gras thing over here is satanic. It's witchcraft. And that's one of, not the only, but one of. Sodomy and the filth and perversion that you tolerate down there and you project and promote in New Orleans. is the reason why this God destroyed your city. But he didn't make a complete and total end to it, like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. But I suspect that if you people are unable to connect the dots down there on the Gulf Coast, and you go back to practicing the same practices. Now, in 1993, you people up in Iowa and in the Midwest went through the greatest flood in the history of the United States in the Mississippi River. They called it the 100-year flood. These floods only occur once every 100 years. That's a lie. Can you see that those people lied to you? The time frame between 1993 and 2008 is not 100 years. And this flood came again upon you. And this flood now is a curse. It is a punishment for the violation of this law. Now, that's my report. Now, that's good news, because if at any time you ever become corrected, like my daddy, now he'd grab me, throw me up against the wall, I'd bounce off the wall, he'd whip off his belt and beat the living hell out of me. And it reminded me that your conduct is totally unacceptable, but I love you, son. I don't want you to think now that I hate you. And a God that chastens you betimes is doing you a big favor. Now, it's up to you, boys and girls, to wake up to reality. Now, when you hear some preacher over here say, "We just don't know why God does this. It's just beyond us, and we just can't understand." The guy's a liar, or he's suffering from the terminal stupids. Boys and girls, you got to be suffering from the terminal stupids if you can't connect these dots. So I just thought I'd point that out to you. You want more of it, keep after it. Now, I woke up one day, you know, when my daddy had whipped the hell out of me, and I said, maybe I better not do that again. Now, my dad had a series of blessings and curses. The curse was when he whipped you, and the blessing is when you got your movie money and your allowance. So, you know, I got $2 a week allowance and 50 cents for movie money, and then, you know, if I was a pretty good kid, you know, he'd say, "Well, let's go hunting." He'd take me out hunting on Sunday. And we'd get in the car and we'd go out to Elk River and, you know, we'd go out there and shoot hell divers and rabbits. And, you know, when you're 12 years old, 10, 12 years old, that's just great, great fun. And I enjoyed that. We used to go out and shoot digger squirrels, you know. And my dad, just a great guy. But, you know, there was times when I'd just get out of hand. And then he'd have to bring me down to earth again. Now, this God's just working the same way. You people down there in New Orleans just got out of hand. That's all. And you people up here in the Midwest, you're just a little out of hand. Now, you're going to church, and you're real religious people, and you're, you know, pretty nice guys. But this Christmas, Easter, and New Year's, and this Sunday worship thing over here is the cause of your problems, not the solution. This prayer in church is your problem, it's not the solution. Mardi Gras is your problem, it's not the solution. So I thought I'd tell you that. Now, for two or three of you that want to give this a test, quit that Mardi Gras, quit that sodomy, quit banging your neighbor's wife over here, you know, on the weekends when he's out of town. And stay at home and be satisfied with your own wife. It's a wild new concept, but your old lady probably ain't near half as bad as you think she is, you know, if you just get right down on the bottom line. "And thou shalt not commit adultery" is a very important law. It prevents divorce, it prevents juvenile delinquency, and it also prevents alimony and child support payments, which I put right at the top of the list. Alimony and child support, that's not good. Those are curses. Income tax is a curse. That's not a blessing. And slavery is not a blessing, it's a curse. And employment is a form of slavery. See, let's think about this for a minute. A slave on a Mississippi plantation in 1860, was he free to leave and go to Massachusetts? No. No, he wasn't free to leave. Did he get paid money? Yes, he got paid money on the Mississippi plantation. Was he free to build a house any place he wanted without a building permit? Absolutely not. Could he build a house? Absolutely. Did slaves on Mississippi plantations build houses? Every one of them. But they had to have a building permit. They had to get permission from their master. Could they own their homes? No. Do you own your homes today? No. Who owned their homes? Their master. Who owns your home? The state. Your master. Boys and girls, you people think you're homeowners. You're not. You're not. That's why you have this foreclosure problem coming down on you. Boys and girls, if you owned your homes, you wouldn't be paying property tax on that home. You wouldn't be paying rent to your master. I remember the old song, you know, that said, I'm mining 16 tons, and what do I get? Another day older and deeper in debt. The Emancipation Proclamation did not free the slaves. It enslaved the white men. The 13th Amendment has not abolished slavery in the United States of America. It has changed its form and included everybody. That's all it's done. An employee working for Microsoft is just as much a slave, called an employee today, as was a black man working on a Mississippi plantation. All you've done is to extend the process, and now we have credit, debt, serfdom. And we now use debt to hold you where you are. So we have different forms, and we've included new classes of people. And listen, the slaves loved their masters. The slaves loved their masters and worked and bled and died for their masters, just like we do today. We love the United States of America, and we will serve, and we will bleed, and we will die for our master. I'm not quite sure why we want to do that, but we certainly do want to do that. Was a slave free to educate his child? No. He could only educate his child in the plantation schoolhouse, and the plantation controlled the curriculum. And the owner of the slave determined what the slave could know and what he couldn't know, and controlled the sources of information. Just like we do today through AP, Reuters, and United Press International. No, boys and girls, we're no freer today than we were in 1860. In fact, it's worse. Worse. Because we actually believe we're free. We actually believe the propaganda that our masters give us. All right, boys and girls, we're going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet daily. Now, for more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-profit, non-commercial, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log, schedule, and archives, and that can all be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.